You find it? Hebrews chapter 5. Let's pray. Holy Ghost, thank you. You are God in the earth today. I worship you. And I joy in you, in your spirit, that we may walk in you and know you. Flow with you in this last day. Fulfill all scriptures. Fulfill all righteousness. Fulfill all things. Full circle. Until we please you and bring about the last of the last days. In Jesus' name, amen.
The Father is in heaven. Jesus at his right.
Hebrews chapter 5. Let's look at verse 11. Say verse 11. Of whom we have many things to say and hard to be uttered, seeing you are dull of hearing. Now, most people, and I would agree, this was written by Paul, and he had a lot of things to say, and he said a lot of things in here. He did get a lot of the things across, but he said it was hard to get across because they were dull of hearing. And the word dull means slow, lazy. Say lazy.
Lazy.
It's you know, it takes effort to go on from where you are. Say go on. From where I am. Does that take effort? What if you just want to be lazy about it? I just want to go and I want to hear my 15-minute homily from the preacher and go home because I got a roast beef cooking. That's easy. I like roast beef. I like 15-minute homilies. But if you just want to be lazy about it, you don't get anything else. You don't get anything extra. You don't make any progress. So he's saying here it was hard to be uttered because he was dealing with people who were lazy, who were slow of hearing. And the Bible says to be what? Quick to hear, slow to speak. Are you here? So anyway, I've got a lot of things that I would like to get across. There's no way I'm going to be able to get it across today. Some of the things are just mind-blowing to me, and I have my mind blown most of the time. But some of the things you're just not ready for, you know, and it makes it difficult. So you got to be pushing on. If you want to be at the head of the pack, you got to put the effort in to be there and be running fast. And there's certain things you got to do that. Are you right? And I know not everyone is going to receive these things. Did Paul know that everyone, probably not everyone, was going to receive these things? Peter even said it about the writings of Paul. Says he says a lot of things that people twist and are confused with because they don't understand it. So I got a lot of stuff I want to get over, but there's things I just can't go there yet. What does that mean? We got to go there at some point. We're going in that direction. All right. So now, what if I know that a lot of people are not going to receive what I say today? Hopefully you will, right? But does that diminish my responsibility to say it? No, because if I don't say it, then no one can go there. Right? Because faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word. And if you're going to go to a higher level of faith, you're going to have to step on that word and go there. What about healing? A lot of people reject that right out. Well, are they going to be able to go to physical healing? No. What about prosperity? Are they going to be able to go there? No, because they reject it right out. You see? So we have to push on to go to the next place. All right. So it doesn't diminish my responsibility to preach it. I hope you understand that. In order to go somewhere that no one else goes, you must believe things that nobody else believes. Right? Well, we don't want to go there. There's your first problem. You have to first hear the word, then you have to believe the word, then you have to be willing to go there. And if you're going to go somewhere nobody else has gone, you're going to have to believe something that nobody else is willing to believe. And, you know, believe me, the people that are here, the people that pay attention online are believing things that very few other people believe. Predominantly that the Holy Ghost is God in the earth today, the only God in the earth today, and you walk with Him, the only God in the earth today, by speaking words. That's how it goes down. And by worshiping Him. And how many times? A lot of this stuff that I'm going to say right now is just going to try to get you up and prepare you, soften you up for what I'm about to say. But when you worship the Holy Ghost, remember me saying this, when you worship the Holy Ghost, it messes you up. It messes all of your theology up. You get a brand new theology. Everything is different when you're looking at things from this side. And if you're not worshiping the Holy Ghost on a regular basis, my words sound like this to you. And that just, you know, that just eggs me on. So my voice gets more like that. All right. In order to go somewhere that nobody else goes. Now, are we going places from the last few messages that I've preached? Are you aware that we're going places that nobody else is going? Nobody else is preaching? Well, you got to preach it first to go there, right? In order to go somewhere that nobody else goes, you got to believe, say believe.
Believe.
Believe things nobody else believes. Where does that put you? Outside of where everybody else is. And they'll look at you and they go, ah, you're one of those people that believes those things. All right. So, and I've been preaching predominantly and much of the time from the room, say the room, of Holy Ghost worship. Which means I'm interpreting things, I'm seeing things, and I have doctrine that is different than people who don't worship the Holy Ghost. Remember I told you weeks back that he'll reveal things and do things for people that worship him that he won't do for other people. You remember that? Because God responds to belief in his word. And so when we're believing something that nobody else believes, he'll do something that he won't do for other people. He'll do it for you. All right. So still in Hebrews, right? Mm-hmm. Go to Hebrews chapter 10. We'll be in Hebrews quite a bit today. Hebrews chapter 10. Some of this might be review from last week. Hebrews chapter 10. Let's verse 1. Hebrews chapter 10 verse 1. For the law, having a shadow of good things to come, but not the very image of the things, can never with those sacrifices which they offered year by year continually make the comers thereunto perfect. Say perfect.
Perfect.
For then would they not have ceased to be offered, because that the worshipers, worshipers once purged, should have no more conscience of sins. Say worshipers.
Worshippers
once purged. He didn't say the people once purged. Because we have a lot of people that have received Jesus, received forgiveness of sins, and go upon their happy way, but they weren't purged from their consciousness of sins. Why? Because they weren't worshiping the Holy Ghost. And I've tried to get this across last week a little bit, that it's only the worshipers who worship the Holy Ghost, tell you I'm preaching from the room of Holy Ghost worship, that will have their conscience purged of sins. And we called that the law of sin consciousness less. Mm-hmm. Or the law of no sin consciousness. How do you get there? Well, you just received Jesus. Well, legally, yeah, sure. But experientially, you have to be a worshiper. For then would not have they have ceased to be offered, because that the worshipers, say worshipers, worshipers once purged, should have no more conscience of sins. And let's go down to verse 15. Hebrews chapter 10 verse 15. Wherefore the Holy Ghost, whereof the Holy Ghost is also a witness for us. A witness of what? The purging of your conscience from sins. So if you're not worshiping, you're not having your conscience purged, and you're not going to be able to understand the other things that I'm saying to you today. Because there's a lot of things that go along with having sin removed. Say sin removed.
Sin removed.
What have we been talking about? Full circle. Where were they in the beginning? In the garden. What happened? Sin came, they died, they became conscious of sins, it separated them from God. What separated them from God? The sins and the consciousness of that sins. So when you're not separated from God, you brought back into fellowship with the Holy Ghost, you worship him, one of the things he does is remove that consciousness of sins. And all of a sudden, you're no longer a sinner saved by grace, you are the righteousness of God.
Amen.
Are you here?
Yes.
Let's read on here. Verse 15. Hebrews chapter 10 verse 15, whereof the Holy Ghost is also a witness for us. Why? Because we're worshiping him. For after that, he said before, this is the covenant that I, who's talking here? The Holy Ghost. He's the witness. He's saying this. This is the covenant that I will make with them after those days, saith the Lord. I will put my laws in their hearts and in their minds. I will write them. And their sins and iniquities will I remember no more. Are you seeing this? So one of the laws that he writes upon your heart and mind is sin consciousness-less, or no sin consciousness. It's a law that he writes. Well, when's he going to write it? When you're worshiping him. Are you seeing this? I know that was a lot in a short period of time, but wait till you hear the other stuff we're going through. He didn't just say that the people were once purged. He said the worshipers are once purged. This is your homeroom. This is where you go. Every day you walk out, you should worship God. Who's God in the earth? God the Holy Ghost. When you worship him, as you're doing that, he purges your conscience from sins, past, present, future. I didn't say you never sinned. I just said you're not conscious of it anymore. All right. And it's through worshiping him that this is written on your heart. And what's the Holy Ghost witnessing to you? That you are purged of your sin. Are you getting this? All right. Okay. Let's go to Hebrews chapter 11. Now, remember, there's things that the Holy Ghost won't reveal to people who don't worship him. Therefore, there are things that the Holy Ghost will reveal to people that worship him. One of them is being purged from sin consciousness. Now, you take the church at large, are they purged from their sin consciousness? No, they maintain it all the time. They keep it in front of them. That's how they have their relationship with Jesus. I sin, he forgives me. I sin, he forgives me. Well, he already did forgive you once. Once purged. Are you getting this? All right. Really, this message gets a lot better. Just hang on. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 40. Well, let's look at verse 39. And these all, having obtained a good report through faith. Now, remember, this is the faith chapter, the great faith chapter, where he's telling about the great men of faith, particularly in the Old Testament. But these are great men of faith, and their faith, we follow their example. And these all, verse 39, having obtained a good report through what? Through faith. So they must have, to have faith, you've got to have hearing, right? And obeying, and they went to as far as they could go with the message that they heard. Right? And these all, having obtained a good report through faith, received not what? The promise. God, having provided some better thing. Say, some better thing.
Some better thing.
Some better thing. Some better thing. Some better thing. God, having provided through the promise, God who? God the Holy Ghost. Having provided through the promise some better thing for us, that they without who? Without us should not be made perfect. So there's something that we have to do through faith. There's something we have to do that will perfect them. They cannot be perfected without us. So we're preaching something today. Well, remember, we're coming full circle. Remember how they were in the beginning? Well, we can't stop off at the law. We don't stop off at basic Christianity that says you die and go to heaven. That stuff isn't going to work here. If you die, you go to heaven. But that's not the plan. Was that God's plan? God's plan was put man in the earth so he could die and go to heaven. Well, that's goofy. What was the plan? For them to live perpetually with their youth renewed forever. That's a long time, right? Mm-hmm. I hope you still like me after this message. So without us, they can't be made perfect. without us, without us, without the revelation, without the Holy Ghost, understand the promise. So something in the promise is enabling us to go much farther than they did. If you look back at verse 13, it says these all died in faith, not having received the promise. And we can expand that to not having just received the promise, but received what the promise was bringing to them, leading them. Now you got to understand, some people were dull of hearing because it wasn't time for them to go there yet. It wasn't that they were retarded, right? Their hearing, they weren't able to hear it yet because it wasn't time. Well, we're in the last of the last days. Someone's got to go here. And if we're going to go here, someone's got to preach that we're going here. And then somebody has to believe that we're able to go here. Right? Is this making sense? Yeah. Full circle. Some better thing. Would going full circle be some better thing? Yeah. Right? If I'm going in the circle of redemption, right? The some better thing would be farther along that circle. Right? Somebody's got to go there. Jesus isn't returning until somebody does. So somebody's got to go there, which means somebody's got to preach it, and somebody has to believe it, and then somebody has to go there. Oh, this is fun. So back at look at Hebrews 10. I'm trying to stay at Hebrews a lot here. Hebrews chapter 10 verse 13. We were just there. Let's look at verse 12. But this man, talking about Jesus, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins, what? Forever. He offered. So his sacrifice included you dying, going to heaven. His sacrifice would have included people being translated. His sacrifice had to include everything to bring people back into the earth, right? Full circle. One sacrifice forever. Well, let me say, how about if, you know, a lot of people like to put time so far away that everybody would automatically go, yeah, it's possible. Like evolution. The earth is 900 gazillion billion years old, and it could have evolved by now into you and me. Everybody goes, uh-huh, it's so far away, it's just unimaginable, right? Well, hear it forever. Think about the forever with Jesus. How are you going to walk in heaven if he didn't pay the forever price for you? Say the forever price. Reminds me, I just to break it up here, keep you happy. You see those commercials with the stray dogs and whatnot, and then they found their forever home. No. Their forever home. But Jesus paid the forever price, meaning whatever you I've talked about this. When you get into Disney World, you pay the big price. You can get in, you can ride all the rides. You just can't eat the food. That's right. They should give you a sandwich or a hot dog before you get on the spinny thing. No. All right. So let's go to here. Did we read that? No. Let's read 12 again. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 12. But this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down on the right hand of God. Jesus paid the price. The forever, say the forever price. Forever. He paid the forever price. So for whatever has to happen with us, for us to fulfill all righteousness, Jesus already paid it. It's done. It was paid once. Now we have to believe that to get in to what we're supposed to get into. That's right. So whatever we're called to get into on this earth, the price has already been paid. Now we have to move with the Holy Ghost to get there. Mm-hmm. Is this making sense? He sat down on the right hand of God, and from henceforth expecting till his enemies be made his footstool. Right? So Jesus is where right now? At the right hand of God until his enemies are made his footstool. 1 Corinthians 15, 26 says, the last enemy to be put under foot, where's your footstool? What's your footstool under? Your feet. So the last enemy to put under foot is death. Did Jesus pay the price to put death under our feet? Yes, but the time wasn't ready yet, but we're at the end of time where somebody has to do it. It's the last enemy. He's not getting up until the last enemy's put under. Well, we're not going to go there. Then Jesus isn't going to get up and come back. You like this message? So this will be a defining doctrine. Eventually, people, you know, like to define people over things. Oh, you're one of those. You're one of those that believe that, right? I think with the Mormons, they have this fancy underwear that they have to wear. You ever heard that? It's a constant running joke. Maybe I should tell you now. You can make jokes about it, huh? Because they, you know, it's, they call it holy underwear. Oh, goodness. But, you know, again, it's other people from outside that aren't Mormons. They go, ah, you got to wear that holy. You're one of those people that believe that, right? Oh, help me. But society people, if we're true to what we're saying that we believe, we have to go here. So they're going to say, you know, are you one of those? You're one of those people that believe you don't have to ever die. Well, if you don't believe you don't have to ever die, is it even possible, remotely possible, that you'll go there? No. You believe you're never die. I got a lot to share this morning. And once again, if you're gonna go somewhere that nobody else has gone, you've got to believe. Say believe. Believe. Believe something that nobody else is believing for. So if they want to put that stigma on you, oh, you're just one of those that believe you never die. What if you die? Then I'm in good company. Those all died in faith, not having received the promise. But I've got to believe if we're going to have Jesus get up off his throne and come back. Which means somebody at some point has to put death under their feet. The last enemy. Are you here? Well, I don't like this message. I know, because you're lazy and you just want to die. Right? You know, they say, you know, whatever doesn't kill you makes you stronger. Well, whatever doesn't kill you makes you weaker. It almost killed you. See, that was funny. Guess it's not so funny when you have to say it's funny. Okay, the last enemy. So a defining doctrine for our faith. Do you really believe? So this would be a question. Do you really believe that you cannot die, or that you would never die, that you would just go from one transition to the next? Now you ask most people, and once again, you're not going to get here without being in the room of Holy Ghost worship, because he's the one that witnesses these things to you. Because in yourself, well, everybody dies, right? Well, no, not everybody. When we get into that, we're going to see that Enoch, who is a type of who? The last day church fulfilled something nobody else fulfilled. Did he die? No. But he had a testimony that pleased God. Well, it must have pleased God. His testimony must have pleased God in the capacity of not dying. Right. Resurrection. Let me ask you a question. Do you believe in the resurrection? It's funny, because, you know, I'll say something like, do you believe that you can never die? No. Do you believe in the resurrection? Yes. That's a fundamental belief of every Christian. Jesus was raised from the dead. Right? Lazarus, raised from the dead, is something God does. Does God raise people from the dead? Well, we're not going to believe for that. Somebody's going to have to believe this and walk in it. All right. Now remember, he said, some better thing. Remember in Hebrews? He said, some better thing. They without us won't receive. Can't be made perfect without us. Mm-hmm. We're receiving some better thing. Now, when you believe certain scriptures, something happens in you and you believe something you didn't believe before. What is that? That's the faith of God working on you, right? I'm sure in your faith, where you've come to today, you believe something that you didn't believe before. There had to come preaching first, but then you're standing on that belief and you wonder why you didn't believe it before. Frankly, I don't understand how people get up in the morning believing the stuff that they don't believe. Right?
Yeah.
All right. Do you really believe that you shall not die? Do you believe you really shall not die? If I don't believe that I shall not die, I won't be one of those people that does it. If I do believe it and die anyway, I don't care. I'm gone. Right? What about healing? I believe in healing whether I'm sick or not. How do you get healed? Is by believing it before you see it. How do you get this eternal life thing going? I can't even tell you how much I got to get to today. Have you ever heard of the word eternal life? Do we use that? It means perpetual life. It literally has in it the meaning the end from the beginning. Forever life, life that lives itself. We believe we receive it. Yeah, but you only receive it so far. You receive it in a religious capacity that when you die, you go to heaven. No, you have eternal life now, and the more that you operate it and function with it, he will quicken your mortal body according to his spirit that dwells in you. It's all there, but it's been hidden from the church because they've been retarded or dull. I hesitate to use the word retarded. It wasn't such a bad word in my day when I was growing up. We had retards back when I was in school. You don't have those anymore. Well, I don't know, what are they, challenged or something? See? Write me nasty letters. It just meant slow. I was in band. You go to the end of a song and it's supposed to slow down. What does it say right there? It calls you a retard. Because you're going too fast. Obviously, slow down. It's not a bad word, it just means slow. It's going slower than everybody, than you need to be going. Help me. All right, John, right? Let's go to John. He says, I'm still preaching the good news. You know, you think by the, sometimes people think I'm preaching the bad news. I'm not preaching the bad news. I'm saying that there are elements in the scripture where we have to go, where you shall not die. Why would that be? What, we shall not die? Because the last enemy put underfoot is what? Death. And if we don't do it, who's going to? Somebody else. If we don't believe it and preach it and embrace it, then it'll just have to go on another generation to somebody else. Well, I don't want that. I don't like that. And I don't believe that. Did I tell you where in John? John chapter 11. Now remember, the interpretation of scriptures, nobody that I know of right now, even people I love and respect, are preaching doctrine based on the room of Holy Ghost worship, having their sin consciousness purged and coming from that side of it. They come from the other side, which means they're not going to be able to see what we can see on this side. This is the story of, let's look at verse 17. Remember Lazarus? Yeah. Lazarus, he died, right? Let's look at John chapter 11, verse 17. Then when Jesus came, he found that he had lain in the grave for 4 days already. So you know where we are in the story. Mm-hmm. By the time Jesus got there, Lazarus was his friend, right? Lazarus was a disciple of Jesus's. He was in the grave for 4 days. That's usually not a good sign. Now Bethany was nigh unto Jerusalem, about 15 furlongs. You know what that is, right? Yeah, me either, I don't know. 2 miles? All right. Nice. Gotta love it. Verse 19. And many of the Jews came to Martha and Mary to comfort them concerning their brother. And then Martha, as soon as she heard that Jesus was coming, went and met him, but Mary sat still in the house. Then said Martha unto Jesus, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. You can understand that. People would say that, you know, you heal people. We didn't think he was that sick. He looked kind of pasty for a while, but if you were here, he would have got better. Right. So it's over now. We don't believe anything other than Jesus has the ability to heal people that are still alive. But we have other examples where he raised the dead several times, right? We believe that God raises people from the dead. He does something to them. He reanimates them. Right?
Yep.
That means certain cells in the guy's body were dead. He reanimated them. Yeah. His brain, he was brain dead. Do they pronounce you brain dead after 4 days? I don't know. I mean, but I would assume so. You don't want to bring some dead guy in after 4 days and go, here, put the little paddle things on him. See what happens. So he had to reanimate all the cells of his body. Are you here? Let me just read this. Goodness. Then said Mary, verse 21. Then said Martha unto Jesus, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. But I know that even now, whatsoever thou wilt ask of God, God will give it to thee. And Jesus saith unto her, thy brother shall rise again. I like the first thing that Jesus says out his mouth. Right? Martha said unto him, I know that he shall rise again in the resurrection at the last day. So she knew this. She was a good believer in that. I know that he shall rise again in the last day. That must be what Jesus is talking about. Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believes in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And verse 26, and. Means he's going to add something here. It's a conjunction. It's the function of the conjunction. And whatsoever and whosoever lives and believes in me shall what?
Never die.
Shall never die. He was correcting her. He said, yes, I know, Jesus, that when we all die, if you were here, you wouldn't have died. But I know that when we die, he'll live again in the last day. And Jesus starts correcting her and said, no, he's going to live again now. And then he said, and whosoever lives and believes in me shall never die. We're talking about the same dying, the same death, the physical death.
That's right.
Then look what he says. I love this. Believest thou this? He's looking for that faith on earth that he returning for. Do you believe in this? And what do you think? Could she believe in that? No, it wasn't even, she was slow in a different dispensation. She wasn't even in the Holy Ghost dispensation. She couldn't believe in that. Look what she says. She saith unto him, yea, Lord, I believe that thou art the Christ, the Son of God, which shall come into the world. So she reverted right back to what she knew. She believed. I believe that. That's how much I know. I believe. But look, are these the words of Jesus, and are they in your Bible? Whosoever lives and believes in me shall never die. It had to be there because there could be no resurrection without the forever price that Jesus paid. It exists. Now you have a choice. Now do you believe this? Right? Believest thou this? That he that lives, whosoever lives, right? And believes in me shall never die. Are you getting this? Well, that's something different, some better thing. Mary couldn't believe right there. So let's you got some time? Mm-hmm. Are you in a real hurry right now? Because it'll help me if I could just go through this methodically. Galatians chapter 6. I know we know this verse of scripture. I use it a lot, but I want to show you the word everlasting life here. Because we use it, but we don't. What we use it in the same context that Mary and Martha were using it in. Yes, I know you're the Christ, and that when we die, we will live in the last day. That's how far we've been taught to go. But we have to go farther if we're going to fulfill what we're supposed to fulfill. If we're going to go full circle, which was back into the garden, right? Galatians chapter 6. You getting anything out of this?
Mm-hmm.
Or just angry? Galatians chapter 6. Let's Verse 7, be not deceived, God is not mocked, for whatsoever man sows, that shall he also reap. He that sows to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. He that sows to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting, or everlasting life. It means perpetual life. If you look up the definition, it means pastime, past and future. It's combining all the times together, right? Past and future together. What is that? That's full circle, where the past and the future meet. You've gone full circle. Perpetual life. What about in the garden? Adam and Eve in the garden. What were they? Did they have everlasting life? Did they have perpetual life? Were they reanimated all the time? Were their cell, or did their cells die like people do today? What happens? Even scientists will tell you this. Your cells rejuvenate, they replace themselves. Every cell in your body over a period of time will replace itself until you get to a certain age, and then at that certain age they stop replacing themselves, and that's when the aging process takes place and you begin to get older. That's what happened when they left the garden. Are you here at all? So perpetual life, everlasting life, life that lives forever. Another definition of this is forever, before the world began, life. What kind of life are we talking about when we receive everlasting life? That's the kind of life we receive. And do we believe that we can live forever? I don't know how we can't not believe that. So when Jesus said, do you believe this, to Mary, she was like, nah, she couldn't, because she wasn't taught that. So if we're taught something, we can go to a place that nobody else has been able to go yet. Are you here? Mm-hmm. Now let me just read another verse of scripture. Psalms 103. It's good scripture, right? Good. You should only read the good scriptures. Psalms 103, let's work in verse 1. Bless the Lord, O my soul, all that is within me. Bless his holy name. This is where would this be? This was written under the Old Covenant in the Old Testament. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Forget not all his benefits. Forget not how many of his benefits? All his benefits. Verse 3. Who forgives all thy sins? Right? That's good. Who heals all thy diseases? What about that? That's good. Don't forget that one. Who redeems thy life from destruction, crowns thee with loving kindness. Destruction. Part of destruction. Now think of things that kill people. Destruction will kill people, right? How about old age? Does old age kill people? Uh-huh. If destruction didn't get them first, or sin didn't get, or sickness didn't get them first. Remember, we talked about all these things that were removed by the removal of sin. And this is even in the Old Testament. The Old Covenant. Now we're in a better covenant, established upon better promises, a forever sacrifice of Jesus. Who redeems thy life from destruction, crown thee with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfies thy mouth with good things, so that what? Thy youth is renewed like the eagles. Was youth renewal part of the Old Testament promise? Right there. He'll renew your youth. Is it something God does? I can show you time and time again. He renews the youth. 50 is the new 30. Praise God. Just subtract 20, 25 years off. Unless you're not 20 or 25, then we will call you embryo. Right? So I'm showing you that these things have existed. They've been in the Bible, but they've been clouded and held back, and people haven't been able to see them, even to the point of Jesus saying somebody that lives, is alive now, shall never die. He goes, do you believe that? He goes, no, not really. All right. So full circle in the garden would mean what? Perpetual youth, perpetual reanimation, So if we're going full circle, we have to believe in youth renewal. And it's, I'm telling you, it's going to be one of the things that marks our society as this thing grows and you're in it, is you're going to get younger. Things you're going to, your mind is going to start, think about your mind. Do brain cells die? What if you wanted your mind to be renewed? Well, renewing of the mind, that can't mean that. No, it does mean that. You want your mind renewed. You just won't let it go that far to believe that. But your mind renewed means there has to be reanimation of those cells that died. Sarah, who is the female version of the one that we base our faith on, Abraham, right? Was her youth renewed? Yes, because she had a promise. I hope you're listening. She had a promise to fulfill and believe that she had to be renewed in her age to fulfill. Mm-hmm. Well, we have a promise that youth renewal and being and reanimation or everlasting life, it's the same function. It's the same power of God. You want your youth renewed, it's the same power of God. Why? Because if your youth is renewed, you can't die. Are you here? How'd sin enter the world? I mean, how'd death enter the world? Through sin. We had that backwards. They're kind of the same thing, right? Death entered the world through sin. Well, how do we get rid of death? How do we put death under our feet? By no sin consciousness, right? And by receiving the things that come from there. Again, I'm preaching a message based on no sin consciousness and from the room of worshiping the Holy Ghost, worshipers once purged. You begin to see these things. Adam and Eve. As they think about, you know, I was looking some of these things up about things that could kill people. This is great. Type it in. You Google. What could kill people? Well, think about it. Sickness could kill people. What if you believe in healing? And better than healing, believing not to get sick. Health. What's health but believing in healing before you're sick? It keeps it off. It's much easier. Same thing with death, right? Believing in renewed youth before you die. Wouldn't that be good? That's a better time to do it. Okay, so what's something? Remember, Google kills people. Sickness kills people, right? Sickness, and how did it get? How did it come in? It came because of sin. Well, if we remove sin, the last enemy is going to be death. What other things? Maybe accidents? Mm-hmm. Do accidents kill people? Yeah. I jumped off the third story floor to a den of crocodiles or something. So accidents. I mean, there's a whole list of things. But, you know, the ultimate thing that kills people is old age. Right? They get so old. And then I looked it up and said, what kills old people? You gotta love Google. What kills people? What kills old people? They're probably wondering, what are you looking this stuff up for? Got somebody you want to get rid of? What kills old people? The number one cause is accidents. Falling down, injuring themselves, and then from there on, you know, that might have been the thing that killed them, but it's what that, it yeah. Their demise was quick. What about heart attacks? Huge, right? Are you delivered from heart attacks? Are you redeemed? So I'm just showing, that's why I read to those promises there. The promises exist there. God did that for a reason. So we would have the faith to build on these things and to believe where he's leading us next. You think about it, you know. It didn't say the number one cause of death is being attacked by a bear. Although that could do it. They were attacked by a heart. Your own heart attacked him. Killed him. His heart killed him. Attacked him. See, I think these things are funny. What is he killed by? His heart attacked him. Right? Just go along, and it wasn't something out here. It was something inside him that attacked him. All right. But ultimately, the old age. So let's say you survive all of these things and you get old, then what is your problem? Old age. And they say, oh, he died of natural causes. Well, how about he didn't die of supernatural causes, right? So youth renewal was a big part of going full circle. Youth renewal is a big part of going full circle. because you've got cells in your body that can be reanimated. Do you believe in resurrection? Yeah. Remember Lazarus? Was he resurrected? Mm-hmm. Yeah, his physical body is all full of dead cells at that point, dead for 4 days. The decaying process, that's one of the things she said. I didn't read it there, but she's like, he's gonna stink by now after 4 days. He's rotting. So not only did his cells die, they started to rot, and then they had to be reanimated by what? The power of the Holy Ghost. The same power that healed him is the one that raised him from the dead. It's the same power. It's reanimation. He was reanimated. Are you getting this? I hope I'm getting my point across. So let's go to Romans chapter 8. Remember, somebody's got to put the last enemy underfoot, which is death. So, and I understand this message might be hard to receive at first, but it's something you got to hear it first, right? The only reason Mary could say, well, yeah, we're going to live in the last day because I believe you're the Son of God, is because she'd heard that. She'd embraced that. That's as far as she could go. But when Jesus said, do you believe that he that is alive shall never die?
Well, that just means it don't.
So you're saying that Jesus wasn't saying what he was saying?
That just means that he's going to die and go to heaven, never die.
Everybody already believes that. And we all give lip service to a lot of these things. Right. Resurrection. It's fine for everybody else. When it comes time for me to believe it. All right, Romans chapter 8. We're getting there. You getting any of this? So do you have scripture where you could believe for youth renewal? Mm-hmm. What about accident? Mm-hmm. There shall no evil befall thee, neither shall any plague come near you. What about plagues? Yeah. Well, what are you believing for there for? Well, that's not going to kill you. Well, if you're believing for youth renewal, well, old age isn't going to be a problem. Right? Yeah. What if you're believing to never die? Well, you're going to be around a long time, or somebody's going to believe this and we'll be able to go. You understand? But we can't believe it if we don't preach it, and if we aren't willing to go there. You should at least be happy about the youth renewal part. I know I am. Right?
Right.
How is this the bad news? This is the good news.
Good news.
All right, Romans chapter 8. So do you believe that you're never going to die? Somebody asked you that. What are you going to say? Now let me preface this. If you say yes, I believe I'm never going to die, and you die anyway, so what? What do you care? Right? But if you don't believe that you're never going to die, what's going to happen? You're going to die. Right? And if I believe that I'm never going to die because death is being put under my feet and youth renewal, I'm going to be able to live in the benefits, say the benefits, of youth renewal. Forget not any of all his benefits.
That's right.
Except for that one. No, forget none of them. Are you getting this?
Yeah.
Youth renewal doesn't apply to anyone that's 100 years old. Is that true? No, it's a promise of God. All the promises of God are yes and amen.
Amen.
Healing doesn't belong to people that are in their hundreds. I'm not saying you're going to be in your hundreds. I'm saying what we need to change the way we see these verses of scripture, because we've been retarded towards them when we haven't had our eyes opened up, right? Going back to Edenic manifestation, which is where they live in perpetual youth renewal. Therefore, death couldn't get them. Old age wanted to kill them and couldn't get in the garden. Does it make sense?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I got to believe for something else. Yeah, they all go together. They're all part of the forever price Jesus paid. All right. Did I tell you to turn anywhere? Must have. Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. Couldn't be anything possible in Romans chapter 8. That's such a common scripture. Let's see, Romans chapter 8, let's look at verse 11. But if the spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you. Is that where we're at right now? Who raised Jesus from the dead? The Holy Ghost, the Spirit, raised Jesus from the dead. If he dwells in you, remember, we can qualify this by you're worshiping him, he's removing sin, he's writing his laws and his things in your heart, right? If he dwells in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal body by his Spirit. He say your immortal body. No, he said your mortal body by his Spirit that dwells in you. What's your mortal body? Mortal means subject to death. It means you didn't die yet. You didn't die. Holy Ghost is in you. He's one of the things he's in you, even in Romans chapter 8, is to quicken you, to reanimate. Say reanimate.
Reanimate.
The cells of your body that were, remember, these holy, who raised Lazarus from the dead? We don't say Jesus did, he was a function in it, but actually it was the Holy Ghost. Because Jesus didn't do anything but by the power of the Holy Ghost.
That's right.
Reanimated Lazarus in the earth. You use this verse of scripture in your Bible. I'm almost done. Bear with me. But if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken. Remember, he raised Jesus from the dead. He had to reanimate Jesus. He shall also quicken your mortal body that's subject to death. So the parts of your body that's subject to death, he's going to quicken, make alive. That's what quicken means. Say this, the Holy Ghost,
is quickening
dead parts of my body. What is that? That's reanimation. That's youth renewal. They go together. Right? If you take this to as far as I believe the scriptures are telling us, what happens? You shall never die. Well, what if I do? Then you won't care. But you're never going to get to where I'm telling you to go here, or somebody's got to go here, and I'm saying I'm going to go there.
You're not going to go there.
I don't care what you think. Sometimes you have to go and say things and believe things, whether anybody else agrees with you or not. Welcome to my world. And I have to preach things that I believe the Spirit of God's revealing to me. Why is he revealing this in the last day? Because somebody has to put death under their feet. And if you don't have a mechanism that puts death under your feet, how are you going to go there? You can't go there. But it's all throughout the scriptures. From the beginning, we're going right full circle back. Is it possible with this verse of scripture, let's say you killed a lot of brain cells in your early days by smoking stupid things, hanging out with the wrong crowd, can, and do we have scripture for the Holy Ghost reanimating, giving life, say giving life,
giving life
to the dead cells in your brain? No, he wants you to just go around stupid now because you killed all your brain cells. Remember that old commercial where the guy said, this is your brain, and he took an egg, and this is your brain on drugs, and he cracked it and put it in the frying pan. Yeah, and it's like that too, except it probably doesn't feel like that. But afterwards, your brain is fried. What about reanimating your brain? Is that part of the scriptures, right? What is he doing? He's giving life. He's renewing youth to dead parts of your body, reanimating them. How is that? Because Jesus paid that price. Are you getting this? Am I just droning on and on here? So we believe in the power of the Holy Ghost that quickens our mortal bodies, not just your brain, other parts of your bodies. You know, others like, what about, you know, the sicknesses that come on people because of old age, like arthritis? Arthritis. Can God heal that? Sure, that would be renewing you to the place where our arthritis usually is an old age disease. Well, if he renews your youth, that disease goes away, right? Ooh, you look younger than you did before. That should be a common occurrence among people of the society. Why? Because we're believing for youth renewal. Now, I could just preach on, that's why we offered that tape series there, youth renewal for healing. But it goes beyond that, because if you're not going to be killed by accident or plague or sickness, and you have your youth renewed, then we're bumping into what was in Eden,
yes,
full circle, and putting death under our feet. Are you getting this? Okay. So let me read that just one more time, and then we're almost done. Thank you for your patience. Romans chapter 8, verse 11. But if the spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, is this true? So that part of the scripture is true. He that raised up Christ from the dead, that dwells in you, shall also, say also,
also
quicken your mortal body. How did he raise Jesus from the dead? By quickening his physical body, reanimating it. He shall also quicken your body, your mortal body, by his spirit that dwells in you. Who's that? Who's the spirit that dwells in you? The Holy Ghost. He's God in the earth today. We walk with him. We worship him. He is same as it was in the beginning, and he's going to quicken our physical bodies the same as he did back then. Same Holy Ghost back then. Are you getting this? We're going full circle. All right. We've been playing around with redemption. You've heard me say that. We've been playing around with redemption. All of these wonderful things, even in Psalms 103. All of those things, we're playing around with it. Yeah, yeah, God can, it's God's will, God doesn't will, blah, 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 blah. All those things. We've heard them all. I don't know if you have heard them all. There's a million buts. But this, but that. I was thinking about, do you ever see those pictures of the Muslims praying in the street? All you see is their butts sticking up. There's a million buts. Yeah, but this, yeah, but that. That's what I think when I see that. Welcome to my world. Right? There's a million excuses of why, yeah, but you can't do this. Yeah, but you know, it's the same way with healing, same thing with prosperity. A million buts to tell you you can't do it. But when you start to believe, listen, when you start to believe that God can quicken those things that were dead in you and make them alive in you and make renew your youth, you begin to step into the full circle reanimation that belonged to Adam and Eve and the Edenic manifestation. You see that?
Yeah.
Say, I'm glad I came to church today.
You're
being quickened. Your youth is being renewed. Think about, you know, you think about, not this is my message, youth renewal, because it's actually getting rid of death, right? But think about Moses. He was 80 years old. He blew it. He thought he had his opportunity. He did it the wrong way, and he went out in the wilderness for 40 years. 40 years. How many of you feel like they've been in the wilderness for 40 years? Right? 80 years old when God revisited him, and he went in, and then he marched across the whole desert leading everybody. And then he went up on the mountain several times and carried down giant rock tablets. Not rock tablets, rock tablets. Here, take your rock tablets. No, they were rock tablets. Old guy climbing mountains. And then it was time for him to go, and then he went and he left. Right? He didn't just die because he, you know, tripped on something, tripped over one of the tablets and dropped it. It doesn't matter your age. What matters is whether God is going to quicken you and reanimate those things, right? We've been playing around with redemption. We need to go full circle. Let's end with this. We'll go first full circle in this message. Go back to Hebrews. You guys, you belong to that group. They believe they're never going to die. Yeah, that's right. What are you believing for? Death? You already got that. Push them out in front of a train. No, just kidding. No, don't do that. And think about Christianity, you know. We receive Jesus, we die and go to heaven. Well, then get it over with. Stand on the edge of the city, receive Jesus. Die and go to heaven. What are you waiting around for? If the rest of it's just going to be putting in time. No, we have something to fulfill on this earth. That isn't the point. The point was we could receive the Holy Ghost and walk with him in the earth.
That's right.
And by doing that, he begins to write things on your heart that he won't write on anybody else's heart. because they don't worship him. Are you getting this? All right. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 40. This is verse 39. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 39. Of whom the world was not worthy. And these all, say all, having obtained a good report through faith, received not the promise, God having provided some better thing for us, that they without us should not be made perfect. Say, they without us, should not be made perfect. So we have to go somewhere they didn't go for them to be made perfect. Are you seeing this? Now let's go back to verse 13. Hebrews chapter 11, almost done. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 13. These all died, what? In faith, not having received the promises. So we got the promise, and then you receive the promises that come, and all the promises of God are yes and amen, right? So when we're fully receiving the promise, the Holy Ghost, and all the promises that come with him, right? It says these all died in faith, not having received the promises. Now I'm going to show you that one of them didn't die. It says they all died, but one of them didn't die. Who's the one that didn't die? Let's read back up to verse 5. By faith, who? Enoch was translated that he should not, what? See death. Now remember, Enoch, the seventh from Adam, prophesied the last times. He prophesied about a group of people that are not in this age, but they're in a remote generation. We are that remote generation. That's why this message is coming alive now in our day, in our age. Ooh. If we embrace it, we can go as far as it'll take us. By faith, Enoch was translated that he should not see death. So if by faith Enoch was translated, what had to come for Enoch's faith to go there? Mm-hmm. He had to hear the word that said he didn't have to die. Enoch is a type of the last day church. You can say he's our patron saint. Why? Because we're like Enoch in this last day. We're going to be translated so that we should not see death. By faith, Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and was not found because God had translated for him. For before, say before, before his translation, he had this testimony. So when, you know, somebody said, "Do you, you're one of those guys that believe that you're not going to die and that your youth is renewed and sickness doesn't come on you and all these other things." And you go, "Yeah, yeah, that's me." Why? Because you have the testimony, and faith comes by hearing, right? Faith feedback loop. Here we're doing this again. Those that Jesus said, remember, those that are alive, that believe in me, shall never die. Somebody's got to go there. Are you getting this? Is this any good? And within that is obviously reanimation, renewal of youth, renews those cells and those things that have already died. Enoch, he didn't die in faith. He was translated in faith, right? He believed something nobody else did, some better thing. And he is the type of the last day church. Now, I got a lot. You can imagine I have a lot to preach on about Enoch. But it didn't just happen the way we here. It would seem like, oh, well, Enoch walked with God. He's another one. He's one of the only few. There's two people that said walked with God. Enoch and Noah. Right? Anyway, so Enoch, it wasn't. If you look at the book of Enoch, you realize he didn't just get translated once. He went into the Spirit and came out. He went into the Spirit and came out. If you just read this, it goes, oh, Enoch was translated and was not, for God took him. Looked like a singular instance. That's not the way it happened, and we'll be getting into that a little bit in the future. Do you understand where we're at today? We have the promises of God that promise that we shall never die, and somebody has to receive it because we're going full circle. Death is removed because sin was removed. Are you getting any of this? What if I want to die? Well, go ahead. Nobody's stopping you, right? But if you're going to never die, you're gonna have to believe this, and there's only one way to never die, and that's to be translated like Enoch. All right, so we'll get into that later. Let me pray for you. Holy Ghost, I thank you. These people came and listened today and heard the word of the Spirit of the Lord calling them upward and onward. And great things shall happen to you as you submit to me, says the Lord. And I will change your thinking, and you'll be able to see things you never saw before and go to places you could not go before. Be blessed in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.